Good afternoon, and welcome to this seminar this afternoon. And we're going to be hearing Sophie Berry, who's very kindly joining us from Canada, over in Ireland, and has popped over to see some things in the UK. This is a Centre for Information Literacy Research event, and I think you were going to ask whether, if it's okay with people to record this event. We've actually had a few people say they'd like to have come along, but it's a bit too far to come. So is there anyone who objects to it being recorded, including if people ask questions? We can, if you do, then do say afterwards, because we could then sort of stop the tape and make sure that your comments weren't included. If not, then I'll hand over to Sophie if you'd like to say a bit more about yourself and
Yes. Thank you, Sheila. Well, it's certainly a pleasure to be here, and I'd just like to thank Sheila for being so receptive when I approached her about coming here. I admire her work hugely, and it was very interesting to talk to her and learn more about the research going on here, and I had the privilege to sit in on the class and see the information commons here as well today, so that was great. And just, a bit about my background. I'm a librarian at York University in Toronto. York University is the third largest university in Canada. We have a student population of about 50,000 students. And I work as a business librarian there, but I have a very strong interest in information literacy, and I have been on the committee we have since it started in 2004, been the lead on assessment, which is a particular interest of mine. And for 18 months, I was the chair of the Information Literacy Committee, where our coordinator was on leave, and I'll actually be going back to that position when I finish my sabbatical leave in May of next year, which I look forward to. Today, what I wanted to talk to you about, and we're going to leave lots of time for discussion as well, so I'll be really interested to take questions and to hear your perspectives as well. But what I wanted to talk about is a study that I have essentially wrapped up at this point, which looks at information literacy, instruction practices, attitudes, and knowledge of university faculty based on the web-based survey at York University. So this is sort of what I envisage as being stage one of a two-stage research process, and stage two I hope to get involved in after Christmas, when I want to do interviews with York faculty. So this is the survey research I did. And obviously surveys have their strengths and weaknesses, which is why I wanted to make sure that I have sort of more of a qualitative approach in stage two, and a chance to investigate some areas more in depth. Because I think when it comes to faculty's attitudes, behaviours around information literacy, it's a very complex area, and certain questions can be asked in a survey, but in a way it allows you to get information about broader trends, and I think the survey or the interviews will allow me to dig a little deeper. So, but today I'm afraid I can only share findings based on the survey research, but I did put in a proposal for LILAC because I'm very excited. I'm going to be in Ireland at the end of next March. So if that gets accepted, I will be talking about the interview findings, at least the preliminary results. So that will be at LILAC. I'll just back up by talking a bit about the background and motivation for the study, as far as I was concerned. I've always been kind of fascinated by faculty's attitudes towards information literacy, and myself and my colleagues, and I'm sure that those of you in the audience who work with faculty, there's a very broad perception that there needs to be collaboration. Crazy if there weren't, between librarians and faculty. And I've always been very interested in faculty's perceptions on information literacy. And when you go and you look at the research, there actually isn't a huge amount there in terms of research studies, either survey research or interview research, which explore this area. And that's something that Claire McGuinness, is actually based at UCD, where I'm at right now. It's the School of Library and Information Studies. And she has done she actually did her PhD study on this area. And she did a great article in the Journal of Academic Librarianship in 2006. And she points out that we've got a lot of second-hand accounts of faculty behaviour written by librarians predominantly, and we don't have a lot of research studies, particularly qualitative research studies. Now, it's not to say there aren't any, and I'll be talking about them, but they're not a huge number. So then the other thing that I kept coming across when I started looking at this area was research studies which show evidence of a disconnect between faculty and librarians. Now, there are a lot of studies, well, they're not, there's a few studies which look at how librarians are perceived by faculty. And those are very interesting studies, and often they look at least in part at the teaching role and perceptions around respective teaching roles. And I think the bottom line from those studies is there are misunderstandings and there are just maybe lack of awareness of what each side does, particularly maybe what faculty's awareness of what librarians do. They do see a very important role for librarians, but they tend to see them as being in the role of a service support, and they don't tend to always be aware that they even are teachers and what this role looks like. So there, it seemed to me, you know, we need to build on understanding of respective roles, and this kind of study is going to bring that forward, because we need to understand respective roles and cultures in more detail. And there's an interesting study, I don't know if any of you have seen it, by Heidi Julian, and her first name's escaping me now, Lisa Given, in two scholars, I believe they're both based at the University of Alberta in the library school there. And they did they analysed postings to the information literacy listserv, it's the US-based one, over a period of 7 years, and looked at what were librarians, mainly librarians, post to that list, so it's not exclusively librarians, what were they saying about faculty's behaviours, attitudes towards information literacy, and they found a predominantly negative characterisation of faculty behaviour. And I suppose their point was, well, one of their points was, this isn't very constructive, and we need to just, I suppose, not focus so much on how maybe there is a lack of understanding, but get down to, you know, why is there, and how do we understand roles better? So very interesting body of research. And the other motivation for doing this study, as far as I was concerned, was, and I think you all agree here, it's not, information literacy is not the exclusive terrain of librarians, by no means. And so the faculty role is incredibly important. And there's an interesting study by Gullickson, Shelley Gullickson, who is a librarian in Eastern Canada, in, I think, Nova Scotia. But she did surveys of a couple of universities out there, I think three. And she asked the faculty to rank the ACRL information literacy competency, the outcomes, the 87 outcomes. It was quite a task, it was quite a survey, asking them how important they thought they all were. And one thing she mentions in the study is that ACRL's document, which is called Objectives for Information Literacy Instruction, a Model Statement for Academic Librarians, that study sort of tags the outcomes on who's responsible, by who's they believe should be responsible for teaching them. And a total of 53 are tagged as faculty only, 25 as combined faculty librarian, and 9 as librarian only. So now, you know, whether you agree with that, the way they've done that, I mean, in some cases I was wondering, I thought maybe they were, librarians had more of a role, to be honest, but the bottom line is clear, faculty need to play a huge role in teaching information literacy. So understanding where they're coming from is extremely important. Then there was the local factors, which were really important in motivating this study at York. And if you were to Google the Information Literacy Manifesto, York University, you would find it. That is our basically overarching policy and planning document for information literacy. And assessment is obviously a core strategic priority, including needs assessment with faculty. So that was another motivation for this study. In terms of this research, what I decided to do was to draw up a survey. I got ethics approval. I got a bit of money from our research and awards committee. And these were my key goals: to understand faculty perceptions in terms of students' information literacy levels and needs, faculty's perceptions of the importance of information literacy among students, information literacy competencies, faculty's experiences with teaching information literacy, and their estimation of the information literacy instruction. Now, by that I really mean given by librarians, because it was hard to kind of get them to evaluate the instruction they do themselves. So that's what I mean by that. And then faculty beliefs, re-ideal frameworks for information literacy instruction at York University. And this one, I really have to say, I'll tell you a little bit about what I found, but I really feel this is an area where I'm going to get a lot more through interviews, because it's quite a complex one. But I'll tell you about what I did find. The methodology was Zoomerang. I used Zoomerang, was my web-based survey tool. I conducted it in March and April of 2007. And I sent it out to all the full-time faculty at York. So that was 1,400 odd faculty. I got 221 usable responses for a response rate of 15.1%. And I got I analyzed the data using SPSS. And in terms of doing testing of the data, I mainly used chi-square testing, because I was able to run cross-tabulations and look at the chi-square. Now, in terms of the disciplinary breakdown, it wasn't possible to do any meaningful analysis at a very detailed level. But I was able to do it in quite a few cases with this broad breakdown: sciences and engineering, social science and humanities, and then the professional schools of business and law. And there were some interesting findings there. So my first question was really, or my first area that I wanted to look at is, do faculty think students are strong in terms of information literacy competencies or not? Now, of course, I know this question doesn't get at that in its entirety, but this was one question I asked to give me some insights. And interestingly, a majority are saying they are not making sufficient use of the library in preparing for assignments, about almost two-thirds. But a fair number saying, well, actually, yes, they are. That was quite interesting. But I think what you need to remember with this is I was asking them across all students, so, you know, undergrads and graduates, and when we go on, we'll see that their perceptions vary a lot at different levels. So I think that's important to remember. Then I thought even more interesting was their comments after I asked this question, which you've just seen. These were, now this is a very brief summary of some of the highlights. I got 78 comments. It was the most commented on question. And I found, looking at them and coding them, that 67 out of the 78 expressed some form of concern with students' information literacy competencies. One big finding was their concern around heavy reliance on the free web. And that they weren't terribly motivated to go beyond this. One faculty, to quote verbatim, said, "Students have to be pushed to use anything but Google." Another concern was heavy reluctance to use print resources. A concern, though to a lesser degree, was perceptions of their own abilities are higher than their actual abilities. So, you know, the confidence being higher than actual skill levels. Failure to distinguish between online library resources and the internet more generally. So I'll just give you a quote that sort of relates to that. One faculty member said, Many of them don't understand the difference between what is available in the library, and then they put in brackets books and journals, etc., and what is available on the web. By on the web, they lump together journal articles, Wikipedia entries, and individuals' websites. And then a good number of comments talking about the importance of being able to evaluate information, particularly in knowing the audience at which it's targeted, and whether it's scholarly or academic or popular. And they said students have a lot of difficulty with that, and there was concern. In terms of other studies, do they sort of reflect this as well? I found that there's a study that was conducted by Leckie and Fullerton. I don't know if any of you know it, probably you too, Sheila. It was done at Western University and the University of Waterloo in Ontario. And they published their results in 1999, so it was sometime late 90s they did the study, I believe. It's a very impressive article they wrote, and they looked at science and engineering faculty. And they did a survey of stage one, and then they did interviews, and they talk a little bit about the results of their interviews in that article, and they say that was what they were noticing, the concern around use of the free web was something they commented on. And then a more recent study, McNamara Morrison, she talked to faculty through interviews at the University of Guelph, which is also in Ontario, and she found similarly a lot of a mention of the free web, and just not that was the issue, but the issue was more just using it in a way that was I guess discerning. So her article is also, I would recommend it. It's interesting. And there is, I should mention, a bibliography at the end of my slides here. So any of the studies I've mentioned, you will see. And I'm going to put this PowerPoint and the audio up on my blog, which is very easy to remember. I'm very new to blogging, and I don't know if I'll keep it up. But while I've had a bit more time on my sabbatical, I've been doing it. So it's www.sophiebury.ca. So if you just go there within the next 2 or 3 days, I will have it up there, and you can download the slides. Okay, so one question, as I mentioned earlier, that I thought was important to ask is, what do you think of students' information literacy competencies at different levels? And the bottom line here was that they said students' ability progresses as they move up, which was not hugely surprising result. Also a result that we found in that I found in other studies. Canon, interestingly, this is funny because when I started this research, I didn't realize that a librarian at York quite some time ago had done a similar study, and obviously I came across that once I started the literature review. Anita Canon looked at social sciences and humanities faculty at York, and she asked them questions. So that was more in the era of bibliographic instruction. That's what we tended to call it in Canada before information literacy became more the adopted terminology. And so she found a similar trend, that they were more confident in students' abilities as they moved up. And also Gonzalez did a study at the University of Southern Colorado with similar results. And Singh, 2002, did a study with journalism and mass communications faculty and had similar findings. And this is just to give you an idea of the, and I've only indicated the mean scores here. I do have median and modes if you're interested, but this was just the mean scores. What I thought was kind of interesting was that when it came at the graduate level, there's not a huge amount of difference, but when you look at the undergraduate level, there is a bit of a difference here, and also it was statistically significant. So it looks like the professional schools, business and law faculty, are somewhat more confident in students' abilities and more concerns among the social sciences and humanities, and I think, yeah, science falling in the middle there, science and engineering. So, but the bottom line is that every level. I mean, I was asking them to, I should have explained this, to rank their ability on a scale of 1 to 7, where 1 was very poor and 7 was excellent. And at no stage do they think there's no room for improvement. One thing as well, in the comments that they made about the students at different levels, was that at this level and at this level, there's a lot of variability in skill. That was a pretty common finding, especially with the graduate students. But yeah, here it was just, I think I had 17 comments about the first and second year undergraduates, and only 3 were all of them were either negative, or they said they don't need those skills at that level, or they don't know. So, but no one said, though, their skills are fantastic. And at third and fourth year level, I had 23 comments. Only 3 were unreservedly positive. So that was kind of interesting. Okay, so another question I wanted to ask them is whether they thought it was important for students to be information literate and to have information literacy instruction. 94% said yes. So that was pretty clear result there. I found these, and Sheila might share with us later on, they did extensive work with academics in the UK around their conceptions of information literacy, and, well, Sheila will tell us more, I no doubt, but that was, I don't know if I can pronounce it, phenomenographic research, right? And this was an interview research, these two were survey research. So in different ways, I think all of these studies indicated that faculty see a very clear value to students being information literate. And one thing that I also wanted to get at is, in general you think it's important, but what about when we look at the individual skills or competencies that information literacy encompasses? And I debated just listing the 5 ACRL standards. In Canada, we tend to very much adopt those. I'm sure in the UK it's predominantly Scannell's 7 pillars, but in Canada it's ACRL. But I felt that was too broad at the 5 standards. And I just also thought listing all the outcomes, 87 outcomes, might just mean I got no responses to my survey. So I came up with these 12, and I must acknowledge Sales, because Sales came up with this 12 skill sets, and they're somewhat similar to those 12 areas. So you can see that we have basically nowhere, in no case, is the average score under 6. And in 9 out of 12, we have a median and mode of 7. So they think they're all really important. I mean, you really can't conclude that any of them are not important. If you want to get into looking at them relatively, if you look at all of the ones with scores over 6.5, I thought it was kind of interesting that understanding issues relating to academic integrity, the importance of evaluating library information and information on the free web, are on the top of the list, and distinguishing between scholarly and popular resources. And if you look at Gullickson's work, she also found that faculty tended to rate competencies that fall in standards 3, 4, and 5 a little higher. So relating to evaluating information, synthesizing information, academic integrity issues, those were rated very high, while the standard 2, less so, accessing information effectively. And in here, it's not as if they're not important, but relatively lower down the list. Capable of formulating effective search strategies, etc. And ability to identify appropriate search tools. So more the access to information skills. You know, a little lower down on faculty's agenda. And I thought that was kind of, in a way, that was validating, because we're moving towards you know, or hopefully have moved towards information literacy and teaching that as opposed to more traditional bibliographic instruction. And obviously critical information literacy, faculty see that as very important. So I think it's obviously a lot more research needs to be done, but that was interesting, I thought. That this basically just repeats what I just said, so I'll move on. Okay, so we've sort of, I've shared with you the fact that the study established that faculty think information literacy is very important, that they think student skills need attention. I wanted to get at what they think in terms of roles. Who should be, you know, doing the programming in the classroom? This was what I found, that almost 80% of respondents found or said that they thought it should be a joint endeavor. And when I went to the literature and looked at that, it was a little different. There were a couple of studies, well, three that I have here, that also found substantial support for a collaborative model, but less so than this study. For example, Cannon and Leckie and Fullerton are finding about 25% of faculty saying, yes, it should be collaborative. That's quite a bit lower than what this study establishes. So that was interesting. And then the other thing that I found was that there were a couple of studies, McGuinness's and Thomas. This is a survey, and this involves interview research. And they found that faculty feel little or no responsibility for teaching information literacy. Thomas, interestingly, had done a survey previous and had found this trend had increased. Now, her research was done in 1990. It is a while ago, admittedly. But McGuinness is more recent, and she did extensive research with sociology and civil engineering faculty. And she found that they were saying to her, they didn't feel there needed to be a formal sort of instructional framework for teaching information literacy. They felt that students would pick it up as they went along through exposure to assignments or working with their peers or through innate ability. So she had quite a different finding there. And so very interesting. I wanted to look at, having asked the faculty what do they think are the appropriate roles, I wanted to ask them, well, what do you do? This is what you think should happen, what do you actually do? And there was a disconnect, and again, finding in other studies as well, that while they said they thought nearly 80% of them said we should be doing information literacy instruction collaboratively, it was almost a 50-50 split when you asked them what was happening on the ground. Are you integrating information literacy into the classroom? I found that 53% saying yes, 47% saying no, we're not. And interestingly, this study by Manuel Becker Malloy, which is interview research, they did a literature review, and they found that when they looked at various studies, 55 to 85% of the faculty were saying they do not use librarian-provided instruction. I wasn't asking that question. I was asking, do you integrate it at all, either yourself or with librarians, however it's done? So my question was slightly different. Nonetheless, it does seem that, you know, it's by no means across the board that information literacy is being integrated. When you look at the breakdown by discipline, what we see there is that social sciences and humanities are much higher uptake, nearly two-thirds, while in the professional schools it's kind of almost reversed, and science and engineering in the middle. So that's interesting as well, though I found not statistically significant in terms of differences. The finding that was statistically significant, I looked at demographics, and I found gender was something that was significant. and female faculty found to incorporate information literacy instruction more than male faculty. Let me get the figures first. 68% of females responding to this survey said they are incorporating information literacy, while 32% of the male faculty said they were. Now, I have no idea why, and it'd be an interesting research study. The only study I could find that found this to be a significant factor was Thomas's study, where again, females more likely to incorporate it. Now, when I asked them about who is doing the teaching, a disconnect between belief and practice, in that, you know, we had a large majority saying that they believed that it should be collaborative, almost 80%. But when you look at what's happening on the ground, 55% say they are doing this by themselves, and about 35% saying that they're teaching, co-teaching with a librarian. So that finding kind of came through in other studies. For example, Gonzalez found that 28% of faculty prefer to teach information literacy themselves, those who are incorporating it. Cannon, it was 58%. She found 50% are doing some kind of BI instruction themselves. And Leckie and Fullerton, depending on the science and engineering discipline, that was between 30 to 50% conducting information literacy instruction themselves. McGuinness, in her interview research, made the comment that in her summary of results, that faculty are more predisposed to do instruction themselves than to ask library staff to do it. That was her finding. I wanted to also establish, of those who are not incorporating it, why is that the case? The predominant reason was the curriculum is too full, not enough time. Lack of awareness in this study was not a big issue, and other reasons, not faculty's responsibility, students can teach themselves, students have these competencies already. Less important, but you know, not insignificant. So time seemed to be a big issue at York, a full curriculum. In other studies, as you can see, the awareness issue was greater in some cases. Now, obviously, you know, this is just scraping, this is just getting at the surface, but it does give some insights. It's something I want to look at a lot more in the interviews. Faculty views about the impact, generally at York and elsewhere, as you can see, positive. They, you know, almost 50% saying a substantial impact, 40% saying some impact, not that many unsure, but a few. And then you can see that in other studies, we were finding a fairly good majority, though that does vary, as you can see from study to study, finding it is having an impact. I think maybe a more interesting question is, how is it having an impact? And one finding here was 40% of those who commented talking about better quality assignments, research papers, grades. 29% of the comments was something along the lines of student confidence is higher now, or they're more aware of the value of information literacy, and this has been manifested by the students' behaviours, higher use of the library, greater tendency to consult with faculty or librarians about research, positive comments after they've had the instruction. And Manuel Beck and Malloy had a similar, they found one-third of the faculty they interviewed talked about that kind of improvement. There's some of the other comments, ability to cite resources, ability to differentiate between scholarly and popular resources, and greater competency in synthesizing information. Now, as I said, the final part of my research wanted to get at what faculty see as ideal frameworks for information literacy instruction. As I said, this was, I think, in a way rather crudely done, but it was the best I could come up with in terms of survey questions. And I would have actually revised one of them after the fact. But nonetheless, I think it's somewhat insightful. I mean, I realize this question in a way is problematic. Should IL be mandatory or optional? I mean, you know, I kind of meant in general, right? But I mean, there are different programs and there's different levels, and you know, but in general, do you think that it should be, I guess, required at some stage in the educational process? We didn't get into, you know, should it be at multiple stages? But this was their response: 82% saying yes. They thought, I don't really like the word mandatory, but they said it should be mandatory. So. That surprised me, actually, I have to say, that there was that number of faculty saying that, and pretty consistent across the different disciplines, that belief. And I got 25 comments on that, the kind of required versus optional area. 15 out of 25 expressing unwavering support for mandating the instruction somewhere. Only 4 had reservations, and 5 of the faculty said, yes, mandatory, but I want to qualify that because I think only where it's needed should it be mandatory. And that, I guess, what they were saying is there needs to be some kind of assessment at the beginning of the program or at the beginning of the course, and if certain students are good enough, well, then they shouldn't have to partake. So that was a finding for some of the faculty. And then the other question I asked was, what about delivery mechanisms? And this question was a little crude, but it sort of gave some good information in a sense. I said, do you think information literacy should ideally be delivered during scheduled class time, outside scheduled class time, or online? And stupidly, I didn't enable you could pick multiple, you know, you could pick more than one option, because obviously blended learning is optimal in a lot of cases. But for what it's worth, this is what I found. In practice, one of my questions asked the faculty who are incorporating IL, when, kind of. And so 80% were saying during lectures, 36% during tutorial, 12% outside class. They could pick more than one response. So that was that result. But when I asked them whether, this was a different group of faculty, obviously, because this was all the faculty, how do they think it should be scheduled or when should it take place, we see that 45% only think it should happen during class time, and 39% saying outside class time. So that was, you know, that was interesting. And I found Thomas and McGuinness find this quite a similar finding, sort of NIMBY, not in my backyard approach is how one, I think it was Thomas, characterized it in that way. So then I think the comments, there were 63 comments, a lot of the faculty made the point it needs to be often a blended approach. You know, you have the online and the in-class together. It depends on the context, the level, etc. But a lot of support of multi-method approach, about half of them. And integration, I found those who support the integration during class time seem to feel very strongly about that. And there were 33 comments expanding on why that's important or how that is done. And then the 7 of them talked about the importance of not just teaching it, but also having a task or an assignment around that. And it was 9 of them said they had reservations about incorporating it during class time because of lack of time. So I'm conscious that I should wrap up because I know we want to go to discussion, but I guess where I would see implications for practice and research, the need for flexible approach to IL models is clear. What works for one faculty won't work for all faculty. Not surprising, I suppose. I think that there's maybe a case for investigating the role for faculty development further. What I mean by that is, this is a bit of a crude way of saying it, but it's not training, but it's a kind of like the train the trainer concept. It's the fact that perhaps a role for the library and others on educational developers on campus and others is to give workshops and to be consultants in the whole process, and that also everyone learns from each other, and that so that the role of the librarian is more outside the classroom than inside the classroom. And I think that this survey, you know, given that I found 54% or so of those who are incorporating IL are doing it themselves, that says something, I think, that they want to. That also I found a number of other studies. Cannon found it. I think Gonzalez, a few of the Alecki and Fullerton. They asked faculty, okay, here's a list of ways in which IL instruction can be offered. And quite up high on that list was IL sessions for faculty themselves, so they could get better at delivering information literacy. So I think that's an area that'd be interesting to explore. Need for a stronger library advocacy role. I had 84% of the York faculty said they know that there's information literacy instruction from the libraries, but I think it was 57% said we could be doing a better job, a better, clearer message. A lot of them in their comments say there could be more direct and interpersonal liaison strategies. So that was a conclusion. And for research, I think why faculty are choosing not to adopt IL is something that needs to be investigated further, and also more research in terms of faculty views on models of information literacy instruction which are most effective or desirable. A complex area, but one which could benefit from more research. And so that's it. Thank you for listening. And I would be, if you have any questions or comments, if you've done similar studies or you just have comments about faculty and information literacy, I'd be very interested.
Has anyone got any questions? So, Sophie, comments?
I was quite interested in what you're saying about the graduates or postgraduates level of or the faculty perceptions of the graduates level of information literacy competencies. And what we've found from surveys that have been done in Leeds and a survey that we've just done ourselves is that postgraduates' needs are not that dissimilar to first and second year needs. That the perception is that they're better, but actually sometimes postgraduate students need to start with the basics just the same as the undergraduates do.
Yeah, we had survey, but we also did some work with graduate students. We did focus groups and surveys, and we were interested in their attitudes towards IL instruction and their own perceptions of their research skills and needs. But we were also interested in a few other things. But one thing that came out of that, yes, was that graduate students aren't necessarily highly confident in their skills. They feel they often, they need a lot of help. And they comment, we didn't interview the faculty, but they said the faculty, they will tend to cherry pick something that we kind of came up with a file cabinet approach from their filing cabinet, saying, read this author, read this article, but they wouldn't necessarily help them with research process and strategies, and they weren't very aware of what the library had to offer, and if they were aware, it wasn't because of what faculty had typically helped them with. So, we found that there wasn't that much difference. And just to tell you what this survey found, there was 19 comments at the graduate level. Only 3 of the 19 showed expressed strong confidence in graduate student skills. A third said graduate students are not as good as they should be, and half of them said they vary a lot, the skills vary a lot. And that was the finding in the focus groups as well.
So I suppose it's the gap between faculty's expectations of students is much greater when they get to graduate, because presumably they don't expect first years to have great information literacy skills, but when they get to graduate level, the faculty do expect that, but they still don't have it.
One of our master's students did a study of other master's students, mostly from the librarianship programme, and they come from a wide variety of disciplines to start with, from sort of chemistry to theology, and asking them about how they felt prepared in terms of information literacy and what skills they needed for their dissertation. And again, there was a lot of variety. Some of them, it was partly to do with the discipline, some of the scientific disciplines in particular, they said they hadn't actually had much help with information literacy through the, you know, more or less the entire course. But it wasn't just the sciences. But it did seem to be very variable in terms of the extent to which they'd be encouraged to think about information literacy or develop their information literacy at the undergraduate level. And I think an exercise that I did, not this year, but I've done the two previous years, where I've asked incoming MA librarianship and MSc information management students to identify the approach to teaching information literacy that they experienced at their first degree, and using some of our research, and using some of the categories we identified, like that the approach had been that teaching information literacy was someone else's job, or that it was to do with teaching you basic skills, and so forth. And again, there was quite a wide variety when I've done those exercises, I did them for 2 or 3 years, of people saying that they had actually had quite a lot of help and information literacy education, and others again saying, well, we had something the first year, and then some sort of reminders in the final year, but nothing much in between. So it seems like even though there seems to be a lot more going on in universities now in terms of supporting, it still seems that people are coming out of university in different countries of the world with very variable experiences of having it developed, and therefore they're coming into their master's degrees with very variable experiences.
I'm actually interested in how you got over the issue of judging whether the skills that the faculty themselves have got is actually a good enough basis to be judging the skills that their students have. In other words, I think it is, I can't draw on any particular research that proves that, but there are still, in many universities, there are faculty whose own skills are actually quite limited, and yet, even with the assistance of the 12 issues from the ACL framework, you know, you actually put a lot of trust in the judgment that they were able to make about the skills of the students in that respect as well.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how you got over that in terms of...
Well, I sort of skirted response. Around it, to be honest. I guess I felt, because it was a survey, that I couldn't really ask that, like, I felt I couldn't ask a question which asked them what they thought was their own skill levels, because I find that can be a bit sensitive and they can be a bit defensive around that area. One question I wish I'd asked, which I didn't ask, was, and it was asked in other surveys, was whether they would welcome, I think you have to be kind of careful how you word it.
Bended knee, broken glass.
D&E, sort of some form of, you know, in a lot of surveys I saw they just said training on library resources, but that's not necessarily what you're getting at. But so it's a question along those lines. I wish I'd asked that, because I was very interested when I looked at other studies and they were rating that very, very high. And yet, you read other places that they don't want to say that their skills are insufficient, or they feel they are sufficient. But I don't think that's necessarily true. I skirted around it. In my interviews, I am going to ask them, I want to get at that in a subtle way. I'm still kind of working out how. Because I think it's really important, and I was actually at a Senate meeting of our teaching and learning committee, and one of the faculty brought that up. She said, what is the library doing about this, about our information literacy? You know, we thought that was important. But I guess it's kind of a two-way street. Like, we could learn a lot from them, and it's just bringing us all together to maybe in collaborative workshops. I know some universities have done a lot in the area, but we haven't. I don't know, has Sheffield's kind of gone in sort of faculty development type approaches.
Well, we have had some sessions of Lynn, if you want to contribute on that.
Yeah, I mean, as part of the sort of the library rollout of our information literacy vision, with our awareness sessions with departments, I was going to ask you really about sort of the online approach, because here we have developed online resource with what we call tutorials, individual tutorials that are customised. At a subject level, and individual subject examples have been included in sort of generic type tutorials on how to search and evaluate information. And we've worked with faculty in order to develop that type of information. The SILAS, the Centre for Inquiry Based Learning in Arts and Social Sciences,
has
that sort of approach, and therefore. There's been an information literacy strand within that. So as that has rolled out, we've worked with faculty on developing both the tutorials and possible assessments. Because my sort of questions are around what level of teaching involvement is it? Is it sort of the equivalent of the faculty librarians going out and doing induction? Is it sort of the support that you talk about for dissertation and project work in the third year, or is it more involved than that? Is it in the design of the course, in the assessment, in setting the learning outcomes, all of that sort of integration, teacher stroke librarian role? Because there's a vast difference.
There is, I totally agree.
And the faculty might invite a librarian to go and do a 20-minute induction first year, and to them they've involved faculty in teaching and delivery of information literacy.
I know.
In the same way as you've got such a range on some of the other issues, you've got a range on that one.
And I did see some surveys that have tried to get at that a little by listing, curriculum integration and different models, and then say, listed standalone approaches and listed induction and all these, and I just decided I would leave it out and sort of get at that in the next stage because it is so important and critical, but it's kind of so complex at the same time. So I totally agree with you though, and I mean at York we have it integrated in a fairly full way to programs, 7 programs. But we're still really at the beginning. We've got a lot of work to do. But that's the model we strive for.
And in your strategy, what is your strategy in terms of moving forward? What have you got written down in terms of the strategic level that the university faculty are sort of looking at in terms of what they should be doing? We have the Sheffield Graduate Award, and we have a statement which says, all Sheffield graduates should be information literate.
Yes, right.
So then each department then looks at their teaching and learning assessment strategy and says how they're meeting each of these criteria. So there's sort of a strategic approach.
That's brilliant. That's fantastic.
We don't have a separate information literacy strategy within the library. It's incorporated.
But at the beginning, that's probably good.
Objectives.
Yeah.
To provide this online resource and to work with faculty on that. So really, how much support do you get at an institutional level for driving this forward, and that the librarian role, if you like, is recognised. If you invite faculty to a library training session in the same way as the students might see it as an add-on, not integrated within the course, how much will the academics probably see it in that way, and how much do you have support centrally?
Well, we did get information literacy incorporated in the recent iteration of the university strategic plan for 2005-2010. Interestingly enough, though, it was incorporated in the research section of the plan. So it's sort of actually was a lot of the language was around strengthening faculty's information literacy competencies. There was a certain amount of attention to it in terms of students, but I think that needs to be strengthened. But that was sort of where we could win them over at the time. But we don't have we do in our own policy, but we don't have at the level of, these are the competencies students should have. No. But I think one thing that's going to help a lot in Ontario is you're all familiar in the United States, there's an awful lot of accreditation standards, and they often are the push that makes the information literacy be incorporated into the programs. And what's happening in Ontario now is we have the Ontario Council of Academic Vice Presidents have come up with these things we call OODLES, which are university undergraduate degree level expectations. And a lot of the guidelines that they have developed focus on what I said. They don't use the terminology information literacy, but that is basically what a lot of it is about. So that has helped us get a lot more attention. Mm-hmm. And in fact, also linked to the Learning Commons, we have a committee which is going to bring writing professionals, faculty, educational developers, and librarians all together to look at how they, as a group, will feed into the OODLE. So curriculum integration is an objective within the Learning Commons. I'm sure there's UK examples of that, but it's sort of a curriculum commons almost.
Well, the subject reviews in sort of terms of vocational expectations, certainly in the positive.
Okay.
In certain faculty that drives it forward. I mean, I noticed you didn't have a health faculty, but certainly sort of evidence-based medicine, mm-hmm. evidence-based health, mm-hmm. drives the information literacy agenda forward much faster in that faculty.
Yes.
So I suppose it's the equivalent to your law and business in that respect. You don't need to sell it to them. They're already halfway there.
Can I ask you about, you're saying about you think that library students have a stronger advocacy role mm-hmm. for what they can offer. I mean, that's something that we're interested in at Leeds Met, is sort of promoting the role of the academic librarian more than we already do. In some areas, in some disciplines, there is quite a good uptake of their services, if you like. And team teaching and things like that, in some areas less so. I just wondered if you had any ideas on, what sort of things librarians might do that they're not already doing to promote.
I think I would have some of my own ideas on that, but what the faculty were saying was there was a lot of very practical kind of strategies, and some of them there are a lot of them we're already doing, but I think where maybe the problem lies is that what one liaison librarian will do, another might not. That sometimes that comes down to individual style or approach. So a lot of it was, well, you should make sure you come to our school meetings a couple of times a year. You should come into our classroom at the beginning of our courses and let the students know. Well, they were sort of focusing on the kind of standalone workshop, but that you should let them know what's available. You should send out emails. So there weren't very many like sort of lightning bolt moments where I thought, well, wow, that's a really new approach. But what seemed to be coming through is it seems to be varied by we don't have a consistent enough liaison approach. I think that was one thing. But I think, we need to do more strategically with higher level admin. I think that's where we need to do more, and getting our language into things like the university plan and learning outcomes. And I really think, as I said, that the OCAV, the OODLES, will help give us a lot of leverage. In the UK, is there something equivalent to that, like a kind of a mandating of learning outcomes based on accreditation standards, or
no? I suppose the QAA, the
QAA,
which looks at teaching quality and there have been various ways of ways of auditing teaching quality.
Right.
In I mean, slightly different in Scotland and in England, but and to begin with, it was actually auditing it at the departmental level and giving you a mark for your quality of your teaching, sort of on a quality assurance basis. And then it's as part of that, as Lynn was saying, it's drawing up subject benchmarks for particular each discipline has got sort of a list of knowledge and skills that a graduate in that discipline is expected to have, which you're supposed to refer to when you're drawing up new programs. And there's now more of a focus on quality enhancement and so forth. There's loads of stuff on the website. So it's a national thing rather than a regional thing, and it's more focused on the whole quality assurance and teaching process rather than drawing up.
Because it's led by a panel of experts in the subject, it is catchy in its recognition of the, you know, the information literacy or indeed the information fluency.
So there wouldn't necessarily be maybe faculty at the table as opposed to.
Unless there's somebody on the panel who determines, you know, what they might be, it may not even get
a mention.
And I actually think that touches on even a broader subject of dementia, because I think there is also a huge lack of recognition in society that this as a skill is required. I mean, it's somewhere down in the, you know, scale of Millennium Goals, but it's one that doesn't really percolate to the top in terms of, you know, people in society being able to deal with information.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fact that it doesn't come up in if you like, the Digital Britain report that we've had recently in this country as an absolute requirement, let alone the recognition that the people that can actually assist with obtaining a higher level of information literacy in society, never mind about, you know, in schools or universities or whatever, are information professionals. And I think, you know, you talked very correctly about a stronger advocacy role the work that the librarians and information professionals do in universities, but actually there is a much bigger role that we need to tackle, which will assist anybody doing it at the micro level of a university. So I want to take it up into the stratosphere, really, because I think it is quite significantly left behind in terms of how we can achieve society's information literacy.
Yeah.
Big question for me.
Yeah.
Actually, I noticed it's now 4:05, so with that huge question,
I'm sorry.
I should probably, because I said it would last an hour, it was appetizing. So I'd like to thank Sophie again and for you for your very interesting questions and discussion. If people want to continue, they can.